Good evening. Welcome to Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I'm your host, Bathsheba Monk. And before we talk to our guest, the exceptionally talented artist, Pat Batt, I would like to invite you all to WDIY's Winter Blast on February 1st at Miller Symphony Hall in Allentown. This is our yearly party where the staff and volunteer programmers like me get to meet you, our listeners. Tickets, which you can buy online at WDIY.org, include hors d'oeuvres, dancing to the music of the Doughboys, a great party band, a silent auction, and if you introduce yourself to me, I will buy you a drink. So hope to see you there. So tonight, I am thrilled to be talking to the internationally known, exceptionally talented, and original artist, Pat Batt. Pat is a painter, printmaker, and book artist, as well as professor of art at Cedar Crest College. And of immediate interest, the organizer of a new show called Girl Band, which is opening at Martin Art Gallery, Baker Center for the Arts at Muhlenberg College on Wednesday, January 22nd. Welcome to Lehigh Valley Art Salon, Pat.
Thank you.
I like the title Girl Band. It brings up images of hip girls playing music together. Tell us what the show consists of, who's in it, and how it all came about.
Okay, well, I always wanted to be in a girl band, but I'm a painter. So I organized this show of three other women and myself, and we all work with linear abstraction. We all work with bands of color. That's sort of the organizing premise for it.
Uh-huh. And so did you know these women before?
Yes. There's Martha Keller, mm-hmm. who is a painter. She lives in New York. She, I met her actually through the New Arts Program, which is an interesting program out of Kutztown in James Carroll. She came and she had an exhibition and she met with artists. I met her then. But she's also the director for the Bau Institute, which is an artist residency in Italy. And I got to meet her more there when I was there. Uh-huh. And she works, she teaches at Hunter College also.
In New York. Oh, great. And mm-hmm. so who else is in the show?
And then the next artist is Kim Uchiyama. And I've known her since when I lived in New York in the 80s. We hung around the same crowd through the New York Studio School. So I've been following her work for a little bit longer than Marty's. Mm-hmm. Her work is very interesting and it's changed over time. And then the third artist, Julie Shapiro, I actually met in the first painting class I took as an undergraduate at University of California, Santa Cruz. So uh-huh. I've been watching her work for well over 30 years.
Wow, that's amazing. It's amazing that you all... I've seen some of the reproductions from the show. I haven't seen the show itself, which mm-hmm. opens on Wednesday, by the way, right?
Right. The reception's on Wednesday. It's actually open now, but the party will be Wednesday.
Okay, so come to the party. Mm-hmm. We're all about the party here.
And the artists will be there, too. All of us will be there. They're coming. Julie's coming from Massachusetts, and Kim and Marty are coming in from New York on Wednesday.
Oh, great. So this is a great opportunity to actually talk to the artists and mm-hmm. about their work and what they're doing. So all of the women in this show share, I wouldn't say a specific aesthetic, because all of the paintings are actually very different. Each of the artists are very different, but you all share a specific image, and that is a line. And it was as if you were all sitting in an art class and the art instructor put a bowl of fruit in the center and said, okay, paint this, and you would come up with four different takes on the bowl of fruit instead, but you weren't in the same room. So how do you account for the fact that four women who live, like, as you say, in four different parts of the world have come up with the same basic imagery in a way?
Right. Well, I think we've all limited our language in a sense. Art has a language, and we're using line as a way of expressing things. And by limiting it, you can expand on other things, color, texture, and I'd say that Marty's a little different. Her work is really interested in the urban landscape and chance to some extent. But at the same time, color that's more urbanized or more non-natural. Mm-hmm. Julie and Kim are very interested in responding to the landscape in some way, but very abstractly. I think Julie's work is... it's sort of referencing the landscape, but also intuitive. she uses intuition a lot. Mm-hmm. Kim, I think, uses color to really try and express light that she feels and sees in the landscape. Mm-hmm. And my work's a little different. I'm responding more to memory and mm-hmm. trying to use this linear language, if you want to, or just those are my words, to remember things.
Mm-hmm. Specifically color.
Color and texture and the rhythms that can set up.
Mm-hmm. So would you, excuse my ignorance on this, okay, but would you call this abstract art?
Yes. Yes. I think it is abstraction. It's non-representational.
Right, and that's the difference that artists make. If you can't recognize an object in it, then it's abstract.
Right, abstract or non-representational.
So
abstract is kind of a term that can be used to... It's a kind of a sliding scale, mm-hmm. and abstraction can be abstracted from something, mm-hmm. or it can be much more removed than that, or it can be an abstract idea.
Mm-hmm. So... when you say, though, that your work is from memory, and I know just from knowing your work, that sometimes you will put something very tangible mm-hmm. on the back, like your this painting you did, your father on the beach with the mm-hmm. licorice buttons. You actually have a picture that you started, a portrait of your father on the back, and you had a bag of black candy back there, too.
Right.
So... is that typical, would you say, of abstract artists?
No. I think that's me.
That's you.
and that's my way of making it real, mm-hmm. working with something that is removed from nature, but sort of keeping a little bit of something real in it. It's almost like alchemy, where you're changing one thing into something else.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also a way. It started because I do these boxes that I put things in,
mm-hmm.
and that was that partly was a way of cleaning house. It's like you have these wonderful little memories that you keep, rocks that you collect at the beach, or mm-hmm. a broken earring that you don't know what to do with. And so I'd put it in a box, and I'd do a painting about it to remember it, but also to clean up.
To clean up, to have a place to put things.
Right.
So would do you think that the other women in the show? You must have talked to them when you were organizing this. Do they see the connection between the four of you? Or?
Oh, yeah. I think that they're very happy to be showing in this context of women, because a girl band, mm-hmm. and linear abstraction. And, you know, there are a lot more people that could be in this show. And we have our grandmothers that we all look to. Agnes Martin is a very famous painter who worked with lines and linearity. And I think she's even mentioned in the catalog that mm-hmm. accompanies the show.
Mm-hmm.
So... we could expand the show to be many more women, or expand it to be women and men. Maybe mm-hmm. we'd call it something else.
Are there men that paint, that use line?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, they are? Okay.
Yeah, I would say even somebody like Bryce Martin is somebody who works
with
line
uh-huh.
and abstraction.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting, when I was looking at the catalog, and as I say, there's four artists, and you all use as a starting point a line, basically, but they couldn't be more different. And when you paint, and this is more directed towards you, because I got an emotional reaction to some of these, and some of them not so much.
Mm-hmm.
So when you paint, let me ask you that, do you want to elicit an emotion from people, or is it more like you're just doing this for yourself, and if it happens to elicit emotion, great?
Well, I think if you think of emotion as engagement, mm-hmm. I want to elicit engagement. So if that's, you know, I want people to want to look at it mm-hmm. and to get something from it. They don't have to get from it what the specifics that I put into it, but I think it can be a place to daydream in front of. I think Kim Uchiyama's paintings, they have brilliant color, and they're just beautiful. And I think you can stand in front of them the way you would stand in front of a sunset. You know, you see something, and then you watch the light in it. In a sunset, it's not static because the sun's moving, but these paintings have a beautiful kind of light to them.
That's, I read the text to that, and I didn't see that when I looked at the painting, you know, the one here in the back of the catalog mm-hmm. anyway. And then she was saying, though, that she wants the pure light at like midday when there's no rendering, when there's no shadow, and then I started to look at them a little differently.
Right.
And I saw it.
Right. And that can be, I mean, hearing the artist talk about the work can be a nice way in, but ultimately the painting has to speak also without the artist. And I think these paintings do. I hope they do. And they all have a slightly different, they're a different song, if you want to
right.
put it that way. Some are quiet, some are louder. Mm-hmm. It was very interesting trying to hang the show because they do have different, they command the space in different ways. And that's, you know, that's just interesting the way different people sort of enter a room differently, you know, or
right.
have a different walk.
Right.
I think that we all are working with the same kind of idea, but we're expressing it differently. There's, mm-hmm. There's a lot of room for variation within a very simple idea of using line.
When you and you knew all these, you know, these other three women for a long time in your career, did you all start out using the same imagery or did you evolve to it?
I think we've sort of woven in and out of being close and being more distant. I think that probably the overwhelming thing has been a response to nature, and that's kind of kept us a little bit more in line with each other.
Mm-hmm.
We're not working with from the figure. We're not working from political ideas. So I think that kept us kind of closer on our path.
Mm-hmm.
But we've come closer and moved farther apart over the long time that we've each been painting.
Yeah. You said something in the beginning that interested me, that you want to restrict your gesture. Why would you want to do that?
Right. probably because of my training. You know, you sort of try and work against what you've been trained with. I love gesture and I love what paint can do, but I don't want the time element that, to me, gesture is about.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've actually, of all of us, come up with a very unusual strategy for painting. I use string, and I weave on top of my canvas a kind of strings, a matrix that I paint against, and then I take the string off.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a pretty odd way of working. Mm-hmm. It's quirky.
Yeah.
But it's really, I mean, I love doing it because mm-hmm. every time I remove the string, it's like unwrapping something, and I get a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
So that allows me to have gesture, but also kind of remove gesture from time. Gesture for me is sort of speaking to the abstract expressionist artists,
mm-hmm.
And I think we've all grown up with those artists, and they're very important to us.
But you mean like Jackson Pollock and his action,
right?
Things,
and de Kooning,
okay,
and yeah. So I think we all those are our. You know, those are the masters that we learned about in school and look at mm-hmm. and love. But you want to move beyond them in some way,
yeah.
if you can.
It seems like what I find in common with all four of you is that because you restrict the gestures you put, I love that phrase, you're forced to look at the color.
Right.
And whether it's like the flat color of Uchiyama or yours, which is very nuanced and thick, that all of a sudden that's what I find that's what I'm looking at and that's what I'm responding to, and in a way it's almost more emotional than a lot of swirls and squigglies going on. Is that what you find when you look at the other women's work? Or
yeah, it's like learning how to pay attention, and by restricting something you have to pay more attention to something else, and mm-hmm. I think that looking at art is learning how to pay attention.
Uh-huh. Okay. On that note, we're going to take a short break. This is Lehigh Valley Art Salon.
Join us for our Winter Blast 2014. WDIY's annual party is happening Saturday, February 1st at Miller Symphony Hall in Allentown. Tickets are available at WDIY.org. Winter Blast tickets include complimentary food, drinks, and the live rockin' sounds of the Doughboys. Go to WDIY.org and get your tickets today.
For program support, we thank Jenny Squali, 102 East 4th Street, Bethlehem, serving homemade Malaysian cuisine infused with spices and combined with other ingredients to reflect the various cultures in Malaysia. All food is made fresh. For hours, daily specials, and more information, 610-758-8088 or jennysquali.com.
Welcome back. This is Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I'm Bathsheba Monk, and I'm talking tonight with Pat Batt, who is the organizer of the new show at the Martin Art Gallery, Baker Center for the Arts at Muhlenberg College, which the opening reception is on Wednesday. It's called Girl Band, which consists of four women artists who use as a starting point for their work The Line. So we've talked about the show, Pat, and so let's talk about you. You're one of the most interesting artists that I know, and so can I just ask you some personal questions?
Sure.
Personal being about your work, okay. You're one of the hardest working artists I've ever known. When did you, and you obviously love, you just love to do it, so when did you first think that you wanted to do this for a living?
Well, I think even before thinking for a living, it's just wanting to do it. And mm-hmm. I've always wanted to do art. I think it's interesting. I think that when you're a young child, some of the things that you do then are the things that go with you throughout your whole life. And some people are lucky enough to do them their whole life, and some people just rediscover them when they're older after they've had a career in something else. But I've always loved to draw and paint and work with color, and I love the messiness of it.
Mm-hmm. And so it was. The answer is always.
Always. I don't remember a time when I didn't.
Mm-hmm. And who was your early inspiration? Who did you look at and say, oh, I want to paint like that?
Well, I remember the first time I started really painting, what I consider really painting, was in high school. We had something called Senior Projects Month. I went to a high school in New York City, and this was after you'd gotten accepted into college, and they knew that the seniors would be kind of unruly, and so they decided the last month of school they should do an internship, basically. And I decided to work in oil paint, and they gave me a closet, and it became my first studio.
All right.
We moved out all of the janitorial supplies, and it became my studio, and I worked on these paintings, and I began looking at Richard Diebenkorn, who is an artist. This is in the 70s, and it was in New York City. He's a California artist, but his work was really beautiful, and it was not that well known in the East Coast yet. There was sort of a real divide between East and West, but I really loved his work, and I remember sort of responding to that.
Mm-hmm. And thinking you wanted to paint like he did.
Yes, and I also was looking at Joan Snyder, who's somebody mm-hmm. who's actually the Allentown Art Museum has a lovely painting of hers. So she works with really. I remember seeing her work, and she kind of had big squeezes of color on her canvas, and it was the first time I saw paint that was supposed to not look beautiful, uh-huh. and that was just amazing to me. I loved that mm-hmm. idea. So I've been working abstractly ever since my senior year in high school.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. That's so when it started.
Uh-huh. So sometimes I think it's very freeing when you see something like the Joan Snyder and you realize, oh, I didn't know you were allowed to just squish the paint on like
right,
that.
Right, that a woman could make an ugly painting.
Uh-huh, right.
It's a beautiful thing.
And so that started you down there. So let me see. We talked about this a little bit, but I want to go a little more into it. You get a lot of inspiration from your personal experiences, and one of the things that you do is you do these lovely paintings. I mean, they're lovely and they're great. I mean, lovely is I think a limiting word for them. They happen to be beautiful, but they're also intense. Just the color is so intense and evocative, and I always have an emotional response to it. But then you have these other paintings where you put things in the back. You put mm-hmm. Objects in the back. And then mm-hmm. you have books, like your time that you spend in Iceland, so that are just these enormous impressions kind of color that you had there. So do you make any, so what I'm trying to say is you do book art and you also do these kind of constructions, I guess mm-hmm. you would call them. So do you make any distinctions and say, like, well, the book art isn't as good as that, or...
I think in the beginning you divide things, and you see your painting as painting, and you see your books as book, and prints as prints, and drawings as drawings. But as you keep going, you begin to see that it's all the same, that you have the same handwriting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm beginning slowly to think of everything that the book, the my boxes are like books, except that instead of a cover protecting the what's inside the book, the cover becomes, you know, the cover becomes what is the book, and what's inside becomes hidden. So they're kind of turning the book inside out, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
With the paintings, putting something on the back, the painting then becomes, you know, an album cover for what's inside again, that you can't see it until you bring it out and or turn it around, or mm-hmm. just know it's there. So there are differences, but in some ways they're all the same too.
Mm-hmm. Is book art like a, I was just recently introduced to book art, so I don't really know that much about it. Is that like a new field? Or
I think of it as a new field. I think that artist books, which are unique, one-of-a-kind, non-editioned books, I think that that's a pretty new form. Certainly new to me. I came to making books after years I spent in Japan, and I had done a series of paintings that were very small because, you know, of traveling, and I think there were 48 of them, and I decided to sew them into a book because it seemed like it made sense. It was a limited amount of time, and it moved through four seasons, so there could be four books mm-hmm. in this collection. And that got me really interested in books and the way the book has a narration. It has a beginning and an end, where a painting you just look at and you don't know where you start or where you end. But a book, even if it's paintings in a book, there's a beginning. You open it and you look through it. And so then the linear narration of a mm-hmm. of a book to painting became really interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what my books are pretty unusual for artist books, because they're usually don't have words. They're usually abstract. But I think of the way you turn the page as sort of developing over the period of time that book, turning out those pages, is.
Yeah, they're splendid and they're beautiful. And I wish, you know, the thing about a book, though, is that it's on a shelf and you kind of have to take it off and make a real, like, a decision
right.
that you're going to look at it. You know?
And then you also get to hold it in your lap. So the proximity to it is very different than looking at a painting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a painting you should look at by standing, and
right.
you should move back and forth, close and far and to the side. But a book you get to hold in your lap, and you get to touch, too. You're supposed to touch it.
Mm-hmm.
How often do you get to touch a painting? And
often
when I make my books, I make the paintings, the pages, all the way to the end. So you have to touch the paint
mm-hmm.
when you turn the page, so you get a tactile sense mm-hmm. of the surface, because you had talked about surface. Surface is very important to me and my work, and it gets really thick. It gets really heavy.
I know. I love that, though.
And I think of that. I think of that as the history. You know, a history, layer mm-hmm. on layer.
Oh, okay. No, they're just beautiful, and I wish. Well, actually, it's possible. I was going to say I wish I owned one, but which segues beautifully into the next thing I want to say is that it's actually possible to own a pet bat, because Pat has generously donated a painting. Is it or?
Yeah, it's painting on paper.
Painting on paper to the silent auction at the WDIY Winter Blast, which is February 1st. At Miller Symphony Hall. So that's one of the things that makes this the Winter Blast so wonderful, is because it's so exceptional, is because of the wonderful artists like Pat Bat who support it, and it's also a fun event. So anyway, we're very lucky that that Pat's work is included in the girl. We're lucky that we can bid on her painting at the silent auction, and we're also very lucky that Pat's work is included in the girl band exhibit opening this Wednesday. The reception is this Wednesday, January 22nd. When is that?
It's from 4:30 to 6.
4:30 to 6. And how long is the show going to be up?
The show is up until February 22nd.
February 22nd.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Confusing. The opening is January 22nd, but the show is up until February 22nd.
Okay, all right. So we have a good chance to see Pat and these other women there. And if you're not familiar with Pat's work, this is a splendid time to make her acquaintance on the canvas, as it were. And you also have a website, don't you, Pat? What is that?
It's either patbat.com or the third barn.org.
The third barn.org, and you keep like a little journal there of your...
I do. I keep a blog of the books that I make and also just the paintings that I make. I try and post a painting every week so that mm-hmm. I can see the development that I love to do that. I mean, it's just I've ended up with a lot of posts yeah. over the years.
I've checked it out a couple of times, and I'm like I said, you're like the hardest working artist I think I've ever met. So it's definitely worth a look to check out The Third Barn and at patbat.com. So thank you, Pat, for being our guest tonight and telling us about this show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're quite welcome. And we hope to see you at the opening on Wednesday, January 22nd at the Martin Art Gallery, Baker Center for the Art at Muhlenberg. And we also hope to see everybody February 1st at Miller Symphony Hall for the WDIY's Winter Blast. I'm Bathsheba Monk. This is Lehigh Valley Art Salon.